to express my gratitude for everyone who worked hard to make our Kids' Day a special day for our children and our guests. Tricia Jean deserves so much credit for organizing all the activities today, and we appreciate her so much, and everyone who worked with her. Thank you for bringing goodies for the kids to eat today, all of you. And thank you for inviting children to come and families to come and be with us this morning. I thought we had a lot of kids here as guests, and that was just terrific. The Greek poet Epimenides wrote that Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Paul quoted him in his letter to Titus, a young friend and co-worker preaching in Crete. At one time, Americans prided themselves on working hard and giving their best. Many of us still do. But a growing number of Americans are like the ancient Cretans, chronically dishonest, lazy, and undisciplined. A post at businessinsider.com gives a list of funny excuses that employees have actually submitted to explain missing work. I broke my arm reaching to grab a falling sandwich. I'm stuck under the bed. My wife found out that I'm cheating, so I have to spend the day retrieving my belongings from the dumpster. My grandmother poisoned me with ham. I poked myself in the eye while combing my hair. My wife put all my underwear in the washer. I'm going to the beach because the doctor said I need more vitamin D. The cat is stuck inside the dashboard of my car. I chugged a bottle of mouthwash thinking it was Powerade and now feel sick. I was kicked by a llama and suffered a broken leg. My parakeet has the flu and needs to be cared for. Open your Bible to Titus chapter 2 and verse 9. We're studying a series of lessons that I've entitled The Good Deeds of Grace. And in this chapter, Paul encourages Titus to preach certain things to various groups in the congregations on Crete, a large island in the Mediterranean. Teach the older men and the older women, verses 1 through 3. Teach the younger women and the younger men, verses 4 through 8. And then in verses 9 and 10, he says, bid slaves to be submissive to their masters and to give satisfaction in every respect. They are not to be refractory nor to pilfer, but to show entire fidelity so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior. Paul's words jar our nerves. Bid slaves to be submissive? How could he say such a thing? We live in the land of the free and the brave. We fought and bled and died to end the institution of slavery. But the teachings of Jesus don't incite riot or revolt. Suppose that you are Chinese. You hear the gospel and obey it. Many people are doing this. Liz Moon, after graduating from Fried Hardeman, went to China and spent a year there with the China Now program, which is doing a lot of good. Many people are coming to Christ in China. Well, is there any New Testament scripture calling you to cast off the shackles of communist dictatorship? No, there isn't. The Christian way to address offensive institutions is to kill with kindness. This approach takes great patience, but over time, genuine Christian love withers an unjust institution at its root. Both slavery and the free workplace present a worker with one of two related temptations. If the boss is an unbeliever, we're tempted to be slack. He's not my brother. His character is badly flawed. He has a dirty mind and a potty mouth. He cheats his customers sometimes and lies to them, lies to me sometimes. He treats me with disrespect. Why should I bust it trying to please him? Keeping Titus marked, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. The apostle addresses this very question when he says, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to the kind and gentle, but also to the overbearing." As we would put it, the overbearing boss or master is a jerk. Whether he's a jerk or a kind, humble person, be submissive to him and treat him with respect. And if the boss is a Christian, we're tempted to be slack. He's my brother. We love each other. We belong to the same church family. Why should I bust it trying to please him? He should be considerate, forgiving, and patient. He should be pleased with me just because of our relationship. Paul talks about this as well in 1 Timothy, if you look at chapter 6, 1 Timothy 6, verses 1 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes, "Let all who are under the yoke of slavery regard their masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be defamed. Those who have believing masters must not be disrespectful on the ground that they are brethren. Rather, they must serve all the better, since those who benefit by their service are believers and beloved." Instead of working with a slack hand because my boss is a Christian and therefore should love me, I should work even harder than I would for an unbeliever or a pagan, because the person benefiting from my service is someone whom I love, someone I'm connected to in the body of Christ. God is deeply concerned about the quality of my work. A disrespectful Christian worker defames God's name and his teaching. In Titus, Paul says the same thing, but in positive terms. Let's go back to chapter 2 of Titus and reread verses 9 and 10. Titus 2, 9. "Bid slaves to be submissive to their masters and to give satisfaction in every respect. They are not to be refractory, nor to pilfer, but to show entire and true fidelity, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior." To adorn is to make beautiful. If we show entire and true fidelity in the workplace, if we are loyal, then our work habits make the Savior's teaching attractive. Recently, on a Friday, we posted an article written by my friend Brent Smith on our website. It's called "I'm a Rookie on Facebook." And in the concluding paragraph of that blog, Brent wrote, "In a short time, I've learned that friends of friends of friends of friends and tags and likes give a person a large audience. In fact, our preaching on Facebook has a larger audience than most preachers have in the pulpit. If we wouldn't want him to say it or say it like that, maybe we shouldn't post it." I think that's wonderful advice. It makes me sad that so many Christians feel comfortable saying things in very tacky ways on Facebook, as if no one were reading it or no one would be hurt by it. We have an audience on Facebook if we're on there. We also have an audience at work. People are watching and listening. Our employer, our employees, co-workers, clients, customers. And the message our work habits and attitudes present may be the only sermon our co-workers and bosses and clients ever know. So what does it mean to show entire and true fidelity? Let me point out three things from our reading tonight in Titus 2, 9 and 10. First, a loyal worker is obedient. Americans don't like that word for themselves. It's okay for dogs, obedient school. Paul's word is submissive, verse 9. This word is even more objectionable. Sounds weak. But the concept is inescapable. And so business people talk about following the rules and respecting the chain of command. What does that mean? It just means obedience. In his post, The Importance of Obeying the Rules and Regulations in the Workplace at smallbusiness.cron.com, Ethan Pendleton names several benefits of obedience. Elimination of unnecessary distraction is one. When people dishonor the rules, it creates a ruckus and keeps people from doing their work. Another benefit is increased productivity. When everyone is following the rules, then the workplace functions smoothly and more things get done. A safer environment, less likely to be injured in some accident. Avoidance of legal problems. When people break the rules, they may be violating legal codes and bring fire down on the company. And then there is the protection of the company's image and reputation. All these things are benefits of obedience in the workplace. The opposite of obedient or submissive is refractory, Titus 2, verse 9, or argumentative, as the ESV puts it. A refractory worker is pig-headed. Do you have any pig-headed coworkers? Call it whatever you want, cooperative, respectful, compliant, but the loyal worker is obedient. Second, a loyal worker is pleasing. Verse 9, bid slaves to give satisfaction in every respect. At Forbes.com, Jacqueline Smith has a post entitled, 9 Ways to Win Over Your Boss. And I'm not going to share all 9 of those, but I want to share 7 of them with you. Do your job and do it well. Employees who do good work consistently, efficiently, and professionally are a joy to manage. Smith points out that unbelievably, many workers today don't realize that that primary task, do your job and do it well, is expected of them. Second, she says, really get to know your boss. Ask if he or she likes to correspond by phone, email, or in person. Find out how often he wants updates from you and figure out how much detail he or she wants. 3, assist and support your boss's professional goals. Find out what's on your boss's plate and see how you can help to lighten the load. 4, be loyal to your boss. Never talk about your boss to colleagues in the office and never go around him or her when you have an issue. 5, make your boss's priorities your priorities. 6, take the initiative with projects and assignments. Volunteer to take on new projects, but don't overload yourself. And finally, 7, seek solutions to problems. When a problem arises, don't just point it out. Instead, offer suggestions and, if appropriate, roll up your sleeves and try to address the problem. Never whine about it. No one likes a negative person. Now, I know that the title of that blog, 9 Ways to Win Over Your Boss, sounds self-serving. But all those suggestions I just shared with you are strongly supported by scriptural teaching. Did you notice that? A number of things come to my mind from the Bible, like don't complain, don't slander, don't gossip. If someone offends you, then talk to him in private about it. Do unto others as you'd have them do to you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't think only of your own interests, but also the interests of others. A loyal worker is pleasing to the boss. He gives satisfaction in every respect, Paul says. And then a loyal worker is honest. In verses 9 and 10, Paul says they are not to be refractory, pig-headed, nor to pilfer. Pilfering is stealing some things here and there, taking small amounts now and then, and hoping to escape notice. Embezzling is another word for it. Stealing from work is a pervasive problem in the United States. In a post at Fortune.com, Ann Fisher says that U.S. retail workers lead the world in theft from employers. And just so that our children will understand this, a real retail worker is someone who works in a store where things are sold, okay? So, American workers lead the world in theft from employers. Employees steal more than shoplifters do. The annual price of the retail shrinkage from shoplifting and employee theft is $403 per household. And we all pay for it. When you go to Walmart or Kroger or the dollar store or wherever and buy something, it costs more than it really should because the store owners have to make up for all the stuff stolen by shoplifters, but especially their own workers. Isn't that sad that the United States would lead the world in that? Of course, stealing money and merchandise is only one form of dishonesty. Workers also lie to the boss, lie to coworkers, lie to customers. Sometimes bosses even expect their workers to lie for them. Tell that customer I'm not here. I'm going to go in my office and turn the light off. Tell your coworkers that your promotion came with no raise. I don't want them expecting more money too. The pressure to comply is enormous. What happens if you don't lie for the boss when you're asked to do it? Well, you could lose your job. And you have bills to pay and a family to take care of. But if you insist on being honest, there's a good chance that your boss will come to see your good character as an invaluable asset. Even if that doesn't happen, let's remember that ultimately we are working for our Lord Jesus, and our character and our work are ultimately examined by Him for quality control. Titus 2 and verse 10 says, "Show entire and true fidelity so that in everything you may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior." If you're a glutton for punishment, you may be wondering what I'm going to preach about next Sunday. But I'm wondering what you are planning to preach tomorrow. At work, at school, or if you're retired, in your community. In your everyday life, you have a bigger audience than I do on Sunday. What is your message? Do your work habits and attitudes teach other people to be respectful, diligent, and honest? Or is your sermon at work, at school, in the community, a bad advertisement for the church. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the high calling of our daily lives, for the opportunity to work, to earn a living, to have the satisfaction of earning our own way and providing for our families and for ourselves. Thank you for the health that you've given us to attend school or go to work, or to, as retired people, serve as volunteers in the community and for the church. Help us to see that in everything we do in our daily lives, we are preaching a sermon. The people are watching and listening. And what we say and do may be the only sermon that they ever know. Help us, Father, through our good attitudes to win people to Jesus. Help us to give all that we have in the workplace so that people will see our diligence and our love for others. We thank you for the income you've given to us, and help us be generous with that in caring for others who are not able to work, and in building up the church, your holy kingdom. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We invite you tonight to come to Jesus. Jesus loved you. He died on a cruel cross at Calvary to atone for your sins. And if you come to him, he expects everything. He wants to be the Lord of your life, to oversee your recreation, your work, your family life. He wants to be Lord of your heart and your thoughts and your speech and your attitudes. If you become a Christian, you make that confession: Jesus is Lord. He is the Son of God, and that's what is meant. Are you prepared to turn away from your sins and be immersed in Jesus' name for the forgiveness of your sins? If we can help you tonight to obey the gospel, we ask you to come while we stand and sing.